This morning's scripture reading comes from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. I have a friend who is a terrible driver. And I don't know if he's still a terrible driver because I refuse to ride around with him anymore. And I don't think he's... Oh, Tommy, you are here. Hey, what's going on? No. Yeah. No, I'm joking. This was a long time ago. This was somebody in high school. And have you ever ridden with a driver that seems to have a love-hate relationship with speed? And that they go really fast and then they just stop all the time. So it's like the light looks like it's going to turn red. And so it's like just pulling up to the line, they need a little extra gas and then they just stop. And even just changing lanes. I mean, it's just really no checking blind spot, no making sure if anybody else, like, I mean, just whipping over every time he's going to change a lane. Even nobody else around. It's just everything is just huge, jerky motions. And I was like, man, I cannot take this. This guy is terrible at driving. Well, unfortunately, he was my ride to most places. So I kind of had to get used to it after a while, right? So one afternoon, he was going to come by the house, and he was going to pick me up, and we were going to, I think we were either going to go to something going on at the church, or it was either a youth group at the church, or it was like a youth event somewhere else in town or something like that. And as his car pulled up in front of my house, it wasn't him driving. He was in the passenger seat, but it was his mom driving. And so she needed the car, so she was going to take us over to the church or wherever we were going, and then she was going to come back and pick us up. So I climbed in the back, and as soon as she started going, it was like, man, just whipping around. And I was like, there was a lot of mama in this boy. And it was not hard to see where he had gotten his driving habits from. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about graduation. We've been talking about these last lessons and these last kind of teachings, these last prayers of Jesus with the disciples. And so we come to kind of the final story, the Pentecost moment of Jesus kind of giving this final teaching to his disciples. And in a very real way, the teaching is that there should be a whole lot of the Father that people can see in us. As you heard the scripture that was being read this morning, we kind of come to this moment in the disciples' life and Jesus' kind of time that he spent here on earth. That this is the last kind of hours before Jesus is arrested and taken to be crucified. So he just shared the Last Supper with his disciples. He just had the washing of their feet. And he's preparing them for what's to come. And so all the lessons, all the miracles, all the conversations, all the long walks that they've had, all the boat rides, Jesus is kind of paring down to the final lessons that he's been teaching them. And he's given them just a couple chapters before this, the very last commandment that he has, to love each other as I have loved you. And everyone will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love each other. And he begins to tell them that his time is about through and he's about to return to the Father. And then one of the disciples, Philip, decides to ask him, just show us the Father. Just show us the Father one time and we'll be satisfied. Does that ever work in our faith? When we ask God to just show us that one thing and all of a sudden we're good to go from there on out? And Jesus responds to Philip the same way that Jesus responds to Peter and some of the other disciples, the same way that Jesus responds to us in saying, what more do you need that I haven't already shown you? Do you not yet know that the Father is in me? And that all the words that I have spoken, all the works that I have done, have been from him. All the works and everything that I've shown has been a reflection of the Father. And there seems to be an immediacy. There seems to be an urgency that Jesus has in this final teaching. And that they keep looking for God to show them something they haven't seen. And it's almost as if Jesus is in this moment, you keep looking for God when I'm about to send you out into the world and the world is going to be looking for God in you. And so you keep looking for the Father when the Father is going to be living inside of you. And there's a truth and a promise that begins to grow out of this final teaching that Jesus has with his disciples. He says, if you've been impressed by the miracles, if you want more miracles, then you're about to go and to do more miracles, greater things than I have ever done in this life. And how incredible it must have been, or how terrifying or confusing it must have been for the disciples to hear the teaching that they, the students, are supposed to surpass the master. But Jesus says, you don't quite yet understand. And it seems to be the hardest teaching that any of us can wrap our hands around. That as God was Jesus, and as Jesus is sent back to God, that God comes down and will be with us and within us. And when the world feels like they need to look for a God in this world, they are not going to look for the church building. They are not going to pull up the sermon. They are not going to look on the back of the bulletin. They are going to look at you. And a reflection in the work of what we have going on in our lives is a reflection of which someone should be able to look at and see the Father. And to see Jesus. The very life, the very work, the very words of God have been poured out upon each and every one of us. A very spirit that empowers us, that lifts us up, that sends us into the world knowing that we don't have all the answers, but we have the answer living inside of us. And that our life becomes in a very real way the continuation of Jesus' life in this world. As Jesus says, you will not be doing this alone. In fact, you won't even have to just rely on each other. But I am going to be sending you an advocate, a helper, an encourager, a paraclete, one who speaks on your behalf, one who is always there with you, who will remind you of all the things that you need to know, who will teach you all the things that you need to say. In that very life, in that very spirit, you will know that it is the Spirit of truth and it is the Spirit of God because it will live and abide with you. It will live and abide in you. Something changes when Jesus comes into our lives. That our very spirit becomes not our own anymore, but the very Spirit of God. And we cannot help but be changed by the life of God living inside of us. And the only hesitation, the only roadblock that comes into this is the very same thing that we see with Philip, is the very same thing that each of us struggle with, is if we are willing to believe it. There's nothing more that God has to teach. There's nothing more that God has to show us. There's nothing more that we have to do than to simply believe that the life of God is available for each and every one of us. And by understanding that God lives inside of us, something changes in the way that you talk to people. Something changes in the way that you carry yourself. Something changes in the way that we walk through some of the darkest, most lonely valleys that we have in this life. Because we realize in the very deepest of ways that we are never alone in this life. The very Spirit of God moving and alive in this world. And it's alive in you. We're more than the students anymore, but the very living image of Christ in this world. When Jesus came down to this earth, that moment was called the incarnation. The Word made flesh incarnate. And if you desire to see the character and the nature of God, if you desire to see how much God loves you, if you desire to see what God is like, then we look to Jesus. We look to God made flesh who dwelt among us. And God said, that very life and that very incarnation, that very outpouring of everything that Jesus did in this life is now to live inside each and every one of us. And our lives to be a reflection of everything that Christ taught, of everything that Christ lived for, and everything that Christ died for. And that is a graduation moment. That when Jesus himself can come stand before us and tell each and every one of you that you will do greater things in this world than even he did. And you will usher in the very kingdom of God. That others will look to you and they will see hope. They will see mercy. They will see forgiveness. They will see grace. They will see the very life and the hope and the joy of God that they so desperately need in this life. And we will be the very hands and feet that Jesus uses to help save this world. When I look at each and every one of you, I see a God who loves your family, your community, the people that you come in contact with, who has hopes and dreams that are beyond anything that you have ever had for yourself, and desires to move in such a way that you feel the very life, the very power of God strengthening you, lifting you up and empowering you to help do something about the hurts of this world, that others may come to know him through the reflection that starts in you. As my friend had a tendency to show a little bit too much of his mama in his driving, it's amazing what we carry with us as we grow older, as we graduate. As we move into life on our own, as we learn how to drive, as we learn how to change tires, as we learn how to pay bills and make change, as we learn how to go and to be adults in this world, we carry with us the lessons that our parents poured into us, that our foster parents poured into us, that our guardians poured into us, that our friends poured into us. We are a culmination of all the lessons and experiences that have come to a single moment and have shaped us and formed us to now go and be productive people in this world. We carry with us a legacy of all those who saw something in us, who poured lessons and values into us to help prepare us to go and to live a good life. And it is no different with our faith as well, that we carry with us the very life that God has poured into us, that has taught us how to see this world, that has taught us how to love this world, and has taught us how to pour out our life for this world, and to pour it out with power, with life, with hope and joy, and to push back on the darkness of this world because we represent something that is greater than this world. So in a very real way, all the lessons, all the scriptures, all the sermons, all the moments that you have seen God move in this world, God is preparing you to go out and to do even greater things than Him. As the student becomes the master, because the master lives in you. Will you bow your head as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for an outpouring of your Spirit on this Pentecost morning. That reminds us, Lord, that you see more in us than we can see in ourselves. That you see a hope and a power where we see a hesitation and a concern. And Lord, you see a way that we can be greater than all the limitations we've placed upon ourselves, and we can begin to reflect a life that is greater than what we believe we have on our own. And a chance to live with power, a chance to help with healing, a chance to help with grief, a chance to walk alongside others in the darkest, most difficult moments of their lives, because Lord, when we walked through those valleys, you were with us, and now let us be with others, that we might carry your life and your Spirit, that we might carry Pentecost out into this world. As we do and we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.